Byron, would you want to come up? This is my friend Byron Easterling. Many of you have seen him before. Some people refer to him as Uncle Byron, but you don't have to do that. I just want to say this. We've been friends a long time, and we goof around and jostle and stuff like that, but I have a deep respect for Byron and his, not just his gifting, but his heart. He's been long on the road expanding the kingdom of God, and he has a heart to expand the kingdom of God. And when you find people with kingdom eyes, you want to look those people in the eyes and say, yeah, let's do this. And it's great. We've had an opportunity to do some of these things together. So we're going to do this together this morning. I can back out and you can explain your part if you'd
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. I'll start it out and quickly turn it back over to John. We're going to go back and forth a couple times, and I am going to call an audible. You guys are Kansas City fans. You know what audibles are. I was over here during worship, and I had two plans. The first plan got derailed last Friday, the Friday before. I was sitting with the Lord, and he goes, I've got another plan for this morning. And I thought, all right, whatever. I had a pretty good plan, I thought. And then the Lord started laying out this plan of his. It was very cool. And so I wrote it all down. And I prepared it. I wrote it out. And the Lord said, I want you to bring it to Kansas City, not just to Harmony. And this morning during worship, the Lord once again said, you know, Byron, that was really good, and I still have that for a number of people here in Kansas City, but I've got something for Harmony this morning.
Good.
That's for you guys. So when he calls an audible, you better listen, because they're usually better than what was planned. So, John, I am going to have you talk about that, because I think it's really important, because it's about promises, and it's about the promises of the land. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, because I had asked Wes to come up and play, and there's going to be a shift this morning, I believe, because of what God showed me about this place that I've never seen before. And I've seen several things here, so I look forward to releasing that. But first, if you could bring that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we'd agreed yesterday or the day before that we would do this in a tag team fashion. Excuse me. And so with me first, so I guess here I am first. But Jeremiah chapter 32, I don't have an outline for you, because we didn't decide on this till very recently. But a long time ago, 17 years ago to be exact, the Lord opened this up to me. And I kind of forgot about it. And until he started talking, and Byron said, I want you to talk about promises in the land. And I said, oh, I get it. So in Jeremiah 32, here's the backdrop for the whole thing. Israel has kind of gotten into trouble, and they're going to get pushed out. In fact, as it says in Jeremiah 25:11, this whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. So this is a 70 years judgment, because Israel hadn't done the things. You'd go back and read the chapters leading up to this. They just didn't get it, missed it, didn't do it. Hey, please, you send prophets. You got to do this, or this is going to happen. And he did send, and they didn't do it, and it did happen. Okay, so, and Jeremiah's been prophesying that this was going to happen, so they arrested him. So what we have is a city under siege and a prophet under arrest. And that's where we begin the story. So Jeremiah is the one who prophesied to them, it's going to be a 70-year estrangement from the land, and you're going to be under Babylonian people. And in verse 6, Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, is coming to you, saying, Buy for yourself my field, which is at Anathoth." That's a big deal. We'll come back to it. "For you have the right of redemption to buy it." "Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the guard, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, Buy my field, please, that is at Anathoth, which is in the land of Benjamin, for you have the right of possession, and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself." Then I knew this was the Lord. You can't sneak anything by Jeremiah. He had a word from the Lord. This is what's going to happen. And immediately that word happened. "So I bought the field, which was at Anathoth, from Hanamel, my uncle's son, and I weighed out the silver for him, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed and sealed the deed and called in witnesses and weighed out the silver on the scales." So they're doing this properly. They're doing this legally. They're doing this according to the law, which said this is how you have to do this. He said, "Then I took the deeds of purchase, both the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Mashiach, in the sight of Hanamel." He didn't have to do those names, but he did. "And in the sight of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase before all of the Jews who were sitting in the court of the guard. And I commanded Baruch in their presence, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, the sealed deed of purchase and the open deed, and put them in the earthenware jar, that they may last a long time." That they will last a long time. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land." He just a few chapters before said, you guys are going to be out of here for 70 years. And yet, and I like to call this buying into the promises, he chose to take his own money and buy a field that you couldn't do anything with for more than 70 years. He exerted his right of redemption on the land. So he buys this field in Anathoth. You know what Anathoth means? Answers. It means answers. 70 years in advance, he's saying, I heard the word of the Lord. I believed the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is to me and the land. The land's going to be returned. I won't go back, but you will. And it's going to be there for you. Signed, sealed, delivered, paid. That's how the Lord does promises. And so we see there's a prophetic promise. What is the prophetic promise? Well, it's in Jeremiah 29 that most of you have on your refrigerator. For thus saith the Lord, when the 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. It's just not calling his name. It's connecting. It's praying with him. This is the thing that I think gets missed oftentimes in the Old Testament. The Lord, when he gives the land initially to Israel, he said, by the way, don't sell your land because this is from me and the land's mine. I'm giving it to you, but it's mine. So he has an investment, a stake in the land. And you'll call on me and you'll come and pray to me and I'll listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I'll restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations, from all the places I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place where I sent you into exile, bringing you home. It's home because it's God's promise and it's God's land, and they are the ones who are the recipients both of the land and the promise. So there's a prophetic promise. I know what my plans are for you. There's a prophetic promise. But there's also a prophetic price, 17 shekels of silver. So he meets the conditions of righteousness, what the law says has to happen. But 17 is the number of authority. He had the right to do it. He, by authority, is exercising his power for that land to be there when the judgment is passed. And then shekel is supposed to weigh 7 ounces. Well, 7 is the number of completion. So here's this complete expression of the authority of God. So there's a prophetic plan, and there's a prophetic price, and there's a prophetic process. I'm not going to read what I wrote for this for you on this. He takes an open, sealed, and a sealed copy. You will note that the sealed copy contains the terms and condition of this process. Could there be a connection between the terms and conditions and the passing of time? The open copy often proclaims the promise to us, but we lose sight of the terms and conditions. The prophetic process is the unfolding of the prophetic promise, the terms and conditions, the time and timing in light of God's purpose. In this case, it's declared 70 years. But have you ever got a promise from God? On Tuesday and Thursday, it hadn't happened yet, and you're wondering what's going on. Sometimes there is a process that has to be fulfilled. It has to be complete. It has to be part of and under his governance, his lordship, his authority. And it's silver's pure. It's the right thing. It's the right way. It's the fullness of how to do it. So the prophetic purpose then is found in Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this is the covenant which I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, after the 70 years. I'll put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. And they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Wow. This is Old Testament, guys. We're under a better covenant with better promises, which means better answers. That turns me on. So that's the purpose. Restoration of relationship in his time. You see, the land was given to Israel in the first place to establish and create intimacy and relationship. It was about something to relate from and with and to. It wasn't just about possession. It was about relationship. The land's mine, he said, and you're mine. You see, we think the land is this right, and it is, but it was like, this is the best I got to give you until my son comes. So then there is the prophetic power. Verse 16 of Jeremiah 32. After I'd given the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm, and nothing is too difficult for you. You who shows loving kindness to thousands but repays the iniquity of fathers into the bosom of their children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel, mighty in deed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, giving to everyone according to his ways, to the fruit of his deed, who has set wonders in the land, and even to this day in Egypt and in Israel, among mankind, you have made a name for yourself on this day. He makes a name for himself by granting the promise. He makes another name for himself by the answer to the promise. And the promise is stored in earthen vessels. It's to the land. It's to the people of the land. And it's going to last the length of time it needs to till the right fulfillment comes to pass. You got it, man.
Don't go. Where are you going? Don't go. Don't go. John Audible, so you can run that video if you want, but I'm not going to do that passage of scripture because I don't need it today. I don't need that one today. Scott, is Scott here? Where's Scott? Where?
Back here.
Oh. I'm going to call you up a lot earlier than you thought.
I can hear you better from the... I don't get the mains back here, so I have to be out here to hear what you say.
Okay. I'll
Sorry.
Thank you, John. That was really good.
Cool.
Yeah. I thank you. I love that, because what's wild about all of this is that it applies. Oh, stop. I woke up about the middle of the night, and I don't usually have ear issue right here, and I'm not saying this is a word of knowledge for somebody, but on my right ear, I have this really sharp pain that just right in this area right here. If you got that, does anybody have that? It could just be that I have it, but if somebody has it, I want to make sure. Anybody? Nope. It could be me, but that's fine. So you pray for me. I'll take your prayer. But if it was somebody, because I've never had a pain there before, so I was like, wow, that's really weird. Somebody. So I thought this morning, I'm like, if somebody's got that, we should immediately pray for that. Because and if you do have it and you're just not raising your hand, that's fine too. You just got healed, because that's how God works. It's a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge goes a long way.
Yeah.
Wow. I picked up some friends. What you heard was promise, and what the Lord had given me was a promise over Kansas City. He actually took me back through the history of Kansas City, and he began to show me what was here and what was available and what has happened and some of the things that happened and some of the battles that Kansas City has faced. And I'm mostly talking about 1800s and early 1900s. There were some serious battles that went on to capture and take over this town, both in the moral value of this city, and God prevailed, of course. He's really good at that. And one of the things in that, as the Lord had said, was that when we line up with him, he prevails. He is unconquerable when we line up with his plan. This morning, you were all singing the song about revival. And I just, right before that, I had to sit down. And when the Lord says, sit down, you know, when your father or mother used to say, sit down. Henry Byron. I knew anyway I was in trouble. But it was a good trouble. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, John, what I saw was the sanctuary full of knelt people.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Praying.
Yeah. Do that.
And it began to expand and grow. And I saw this group kneeling in prayer before God. That's all I saw to begin with. And as you continue to sing this song, it's like God's put me lower and lower and lower. And it was like the song you were singing is true. And the energy by which you were singing it was fantastic. But it was like, now go low. It's about going low. It's about getting on our knees. You want revival to come? It's not about proclaiming it. It's about praying it. It was so powerful to me. I've never seen that here before. I know you've been a praying church. I know that. You pray for us regularly. I know that. I feel it. I get the benefit of the prayer groups here. I know that John has a call in his life in prayer. I've seen it. It's affected the city. But when I saw the congregation, and it wasn't like it's not a demand. It comes out of a heart of desire to be before the Lord. That's all it is. And it's not that you have to be on your knees. That's not what it's the imagery of what God was showing me. It was your hearts for him. That's the imagery of being on our knees before him. It's that relational dynamic that the Father has with us that John was talking about. That first, it's about that. He just wants us. proclaiming is fantastic, and we need to do that to wake us up. But what he's going to listen to is your heart.
Yes.
And that's all prayer is. In the bottom line of it all, is your heart poured out to him. You take everything away, that's what comes out, is your heart. And I saw you on your knees, just prostrate before God, praying. And as you prayed, people started coming in the doors. And the front started filling up, not with proclamation, just with prayer. And that's why it's so, I thought, I'm going to keep Wes up here because there was this peace on the place that just brought in. And the presence was, it's already here. You don't have to fight for the presence. You don't call in the presence of God. The presence of God is in here. He's given you the Holy Spirit. You don't call in the presence of God. We wake up to the presence of God. It's the prophet and his servant. The servant walks out in the morning, right? And he goes, whoa, there's an army, dude. They're after us. And he comes out and the prophet, it's Elijah,
yeah.
I think. I always get those two guys mixed up. It's just one little letter.
Yes.
And it messes me up all the time. Elisha, I think. And he walks out and the servant's like, sir, the army is going to take us. And he goes, no, you don't see what I see. And then he said to the Lord, Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he might see. And he opened his eyes. And there in the hills surrounding was the army of God. So open our eyes this very morning. Open our eyes that we might see that the presence of God is already here. We don't fight for the presence.
Right.
We don't have to fight for that. We've been given the presence when we come into his kingdom and we activate and we open our eyes to see more of it. But the presence is here because you're here. And when I saw you praying, it was such a sweet, beautiful, joyful, lovely, gentle, heartfelt. There are promises on the land and in our hearts. When you sing a song like you did about revival, what I felt in the midst of that, it's like I was feeling your promises of expectation that God has a plan and is going to move.
Yes.
That has not been taken away. Because he can't take what he's promised away. It's like a contract. God writes contracts to himself. There's literally a contract in Scripture that in the Psalms where he says, when we delight in the Lord, he will grant us the desires of our heart. That word grant is a legal word that he has literally written a contract to himself that when we delight out of our heart to him, he must give us the desires of our heart. And it won't come by shouting. It won't come by declaration. It'll become by going low in his presence. That's what I'm sensing. Now, you have to weigh that, and that's what John was talking about, the aspects of prophecy. You get to hear it, but now you have to weigh it. See, this is the responsibility that we must take upon ourselves. It is every individual's right and responsibility to weigh a prophecy. See, if you lay that all on one person or a group of people called the elders or other, yes, they have the right to also. And there is wisdom within that group combined. But you must understand, if you don't weigh that yourself, you disregard it and therefore pull yourself out of activating that word in your life because you have said, I'm letting somebody else do that for me. This is growing up. Right? Yeah. This is understanding that we must take a hold of those things ourselves and learn how to activate those, learn how to walk into those, learn how to weigh those in the Spirit of God. Yeah, that's our right. That's our privilege. That's the joy of the kingdom. So you get to weigh this that I'm bringing. But I want to activate something this morning. And that is the promises that John was talking about. By prayer. We had planned prayer anyway. So it was kind of like, let's bypass what I was originally going to do because although that was lovely, I thought so.
Yeah, lovely indeed.
I think I'm done. And I think I just need to pass that off and turn that over. Because this is our body, but this is your place. And maybe even taking a moment to weigh that a bit in your spirit as we move forward. Okay? Is that cool, guys? You're very attentive, by the way. Thank you.
You know, one of the wonderful things about the passage we just looked at, and it's as you were saying, in the very first part, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and said, hey, your nephew is going to come, and it's going to happen. And as soon as he spoke it, his nephew came, and it happened. And 10 verses later, he's taking his own money and investing everything. He's buying into the promise that he knows is impossible for him to experience the result. Because he knows it's going to be at least 70 years because the Lord told him that and he told the people that. And so in the same passage from the same prophet, there's an instantaneous answer and there's a delayed detonator. I just think that's so rich because it's going to happen either like that or somewhere in between. You know, and same guy, same God. It's just, I love that. And as you were talking about that, that's so good because if you only read that verse and you think it's going to come immediately, if you only read this verse, well, I'm going to die before it happens. Well, you know what? If it's the purpose of God for it to happen after I die, then that's when it needs to happen. It's the time and timing are so significant of what happens. But the promise is confidence in the word that he spoke and confidence in the speaker. And if you know the promise is from God, then the only thing you can do is what Jeremiah did, and that's buy in. That doesn't have to be silver and gold. The idea is, I'm taking what I have. I'm claiming what's right, rightly mine by what God has said. And because of his relationships and family, that was his right to have. So God had already endowed it, so to speak, granted it to come to pass, but he had to have term and condition. He had to have a response. So I just think that just it's so packed in there so tightly, so wonderful. I'm going to tell you about a promise. And then, Scott, you might as well come on up here, man, if you want to. One of the things that we have prayed about for a long time, when I say we, that would be me and other people, okay? Different people over a 30-year period of time. But way back when, there was a word that came forth, not from me, but I was there to hear it. And it concerned the nation of Israel, and it concerned President Truman. And because he's from the Kansas City area, and he was did a lot to help Israel become a nation back in the post-World War II days, there was a word that came forth. And I, one of the first things I heard when I was in the circles here to hear, and I thought, that's the word of the Lord. And essentially, it was a wagon wheel type of an example, that there was a wagon wheel. Kansas City was the hub of the wheel. And because of what Truman had done to be a blesser of Israel, God was going to do something in Kansas City, and that was going to go out in 500-mile areas from Kansas City like the spokes of a wheel. Yeah, isn't that cool? So we be the hub. What I'm trying to say is there's something that's supposed to happen here, something that coalesces here that is expressed everywhere. It's for us, epicenter, but it's not alone to us. And I wouldn't care if we were spoken, something happened this way, you know, but I really believe that. And I'm going to pray that for us for just a second. And Scott, I'll give it to you, because I really believe that's supposed to happen. What if this is that corner turning experience where something like that would happen? Lord, we want to say thank you for how you did what you did to bless Israel through President Truman. Thank you that he's from our geographical areas, from, you know, a suburb of Kansas City. And Lord, we believe you want to do something here that is has propulsion to go and bring blessing and bring touch and bring all those promises. You want to awaken and bring answers to promises here so you can awaken and bring promises in all sorts of places for all sorts of people. And we just want to volunteer to be part of that group. Lord, if you want to do something here that's causative to that, then we say yes. And if what we're supposed to be is just, it's just a, it's a catalytic thing where we're part of it and we bless it, we're good with that too. We want to see you do what you meant when you told Bob that promise. And Lord, we want to see people touched and helped and healed and delivered and their destinies arrived at because you do something here. And then we want the overflow of that to go in all these different places that you've have named. You already named them. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that, but you know what you want to do. You know where the flow is supposed to start, and you know where the overflow is supposed to go. And we just volunteer to be part of that. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for, there are people who've been praying that for 30 years. We just want to say yes. And I pray that you'd stir them to continue to pray as well. In Jesus' name.
Just, Myron, to let you know what we've been praying in the prayer room the last 3 weeks. The restoration part of the book of Ezekiel from 32, 33 on to 48, and about the valley of the dry bones and the river of God, mostly, the river of healing. And interestingly, in my mind, the Lord says two things are going to happen there. He says, you're going to pray and you're going to prophesy. He says, I'm going to listen to the prayers of Israel now, and it's time to speak to the mountain. And that's the two things that he calls Ezekiel to do. But the promise that God's given to the prayer room here happened in 2005. I was sitting in my living room on a Sunday night. It was late. It was dark, and it was pouring outside. I mean, it rained like 4 or 5 inches. I can't remember that day, measured up at the airport, 4 or 5 inches. And I was a little despondent at the time. And I said, Lord, do something, anything. And this little Bible of mine was on the floor. And he said, I felt in my heart, he said, Isaiah 44. And I picked it up, this little Bible of mine. And it's pouring outside. And I read, but now listen to me, Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. The Lord who made you and helped you says, O Jacob, my servant, do not be afraid. O Israel, my chosen one, do not fear, for I will give you abundant water to quench your thirst and to moisten your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit and my blessings on your children, and they will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Some will proudly proclaim, I belong to the Lord, and others will say, I am a descendant of Jacob. And some will write the Lord's name on their hands and will take the honored name of the Lord of Israel as their own. So the Lord gave me that around the time of the National Day of Prayer in 2005. And we prayed around the clock 24 hours. And Roger brought in a description of the revival in Hebrides. And a pretty lengthy, 2 or 3 page long description. And it said in there the scripture that they prayed that initiated the Hebrides revival was Isaiah 44. That same passage. And so then that was Saturday. Then John got up on Sunday and he preached out of Job. Job 14. If a tree is cut down, there is hope that it will sprout again and grow new branches. Though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stump decays, at the scent of water, it may bud and sprout again like a new seedling. And so then that next week, if you'll remember, there was a big rainstorm in Death Valley. And it was on the cover of Life magazine. And that's the cover of Life magazine there. It's been in our prayer room since 2005, 19 years ago. And then Cindy, my wife, painted a picture of the stump from Job. And those two things have hung in the prayer room for the last 19 years. And we've prayed over those things. So I just want to pray that this morning out of Isaiah 44. Lord, you promised to Isaiah. You promised it to Ezekiel, to Joel, to Zechariah, John the Apostle, Lord. They all saw the river of God. They all saw the rain changing that which was parched and hardened, Lord, into life. Healing that which was dead, Lord. Flowing into that low place where it was dead and causing life to come from that again. Lord, we just ask you to loose the river today. Today, Lord, we ask, Lord, for that abundant water from heaven, Lord, that waters the ground, that causes it to flourish and thrive, Lord, that blesses us, but also blesses our children and our grandchildren and those that come after us, Lord. Lord, we know it just takes the scent of water. That those seeds that were dormant in Death Valley for 100 years, all it needed was the scent of water, and it came to life. And that which was barren and hard became fruitful and beautiful, Lord. God told Ezekiel, wherever that water touches, life will result. So we ask, Lord, let the water flow. Lord, we're just saying, we're making ourselves available, Lord. We want that water, Lord, as so many have seen, to come in the back doors of the lobby there and flow down the aisles and begin to pool at the front here, Lord. God, we ask that you would do that for us. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Stay up here for a second, Scott, would you? I just want to do something, you and me. You don't know it, but we're going to do it. I told someone yesterday, in fact, I told Karen this. I said, you know, Byron sees things I don't see, but I get the chance sometimes to be with him and see him see. It's not that I don't ever see anything either, but I see him sometimes see things, and I can tell that he is seeing it, even though I'm not tuned in and seeing it myself. I didn't see you all in a posture of prayer like he did today, but when he said it, I did. And so I just want to say, Lord, here's Scott and I just representing leadership in this house today. We want to say we receive that word, that we would be beyond what we've been, a people of prayer, like by nature, people of prayer who have a dependency on you that brings honor to your name and pleasure to your heart and brings answers to your promises. Holy Spirit, we want to say yes to that, that we would know how to proclaim and declare and stand in the gap and all of that. And at the same time, Lord, we would know how to go, I am my beloved's, he is mine. There's peace in this house and there's peace in this heart. Lord, we want to be directed by the sheep hearing the shepherd speak. We want to be led by the powerful presence of the Spirit of God. And we want to say, thank you, Lord, for this day that we can know you have things still in mind for our church and for our city. And so, Lord, just as recipients, we just say thank you, Lord, for being gracious and generous to us today. And Lord, we pray that we would have a responsive heart, a partnership with you in prayer that outdoes anything we've ever known before.
Lord, we just bring before you Zechariah 12:10.
Yes.
That the spirit of grace and prayer would rest upon the house of Vineyard, mm-hmm. and upon the family of Vineyard, and upon the city of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, we want to receive today, Lord, the spirit of grace and prayer.
Yes.
Lord, we want it to rest upon us, upon this house, upon our family, the family of David, and upon the city of Jerusalem, upon our city, Kansas City, Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, despite all that's gone on here recently in our city, Lord, we ask that the spirit of grace and prayer would continue to rest upon this city in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Lord, there was, as I read today about today, there was something there about people being home. We're in the house of God. I mean, home in the land where you'd planted them. And you're not satisfied, and you weren't satisfied just to get them out of Israel or Babylon. I mean, get them out of Egypt or Babylon. You wanted them back to the place where you have said, this is mine, and now it's yours. And so, Lord, we call people to return to the house of the Lord, not just our house, but we don't leave our house out. Lord, there are people that you know that are stumbling and having all sorts of difficulty, and it's because they've lost their way home. They've lost that place where this is the appointed place, whether it's the city or the church, that a geographical place where you know that's where their destiny lies. And we want to call in prodigals. We want to call in people who've been church hurt. We want to call in people who blame someone else for their condition. And Lord, we just put that banner up that says amnesty on it and open the doors and say, come home, come home, come home to the house of the Lord. We pray you would fill church after church with people who need to return to you, Lord. We want to see people come into the kingdom. But Lord, we want to see people come back into fruition in the kingdom. We welcome. We roll out that red carpet, Holy Spirit. Say, would you be as gentle and kind and as submersive as you need to be to bring people back to this place called home. We were talking about this in a prayer meeting yesterday, and I just feel a little urge to do this. For years, we had printed on all our stuff, his banner over us, his love. Had it on our pins, we had it on our postcards, we had it on everything. And we prayed that people would walk in under that and all of a sudden touched by the fact that his banner over us is love. And not that it can't be a whole bunch of other things. I'd put his banner over us is healing. But his love is part of the healing. So Lord, we just, if I could, if I had that in my hands, I just put it up and say, Lord, we want to put that banner over our doorposts, over our doorway, over the sign on the fence, over the sign in the yard. His banner over us is love. Lord, unloved people are dangerous to themselves and harmful in their lifestyle. And we just, Lord, we want to say, when we come to you, we're coming to you as a people who live in that shadow of that love underneath your wings. And we want people to experience that. And we want to be able to, if I can say this, send it when we pray. Release it as we pray. His banner over us is love. I want to speak to you, you team members that came with Byron. If you are holding something or have something you would like to speak out, pray in, this might be a good opportunity to do that if you do.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Sam Hall. For many years, we were members of Harmony. And occasionally the Lord would speak encouragements for us through my dreams and all sorts of fun stuff. And this morning, the first verse that I felt the Lord speak was Jeremiah 35. And I went, wow, John's hearing today. And then he showed me Psalm 65. And this is what it says, verse 9. And it's, you care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you ordained it. And when I looked at that this morning, I had not seen that before, the streams of God. I always just kind of read it, you know, just the streams, but it was actually his stream. And when Byron got up and spoke about this outpouring on this place, I felt like the Lord said, my stream of prayer is going to be poured out in this place. It's his stream that's going to be poured out on this place. His stream, which is how he has always done it. He's looking for people to jump into his stream, to flow with God, to water the land, to bring forth abundance. It's his stream. And Scott, as you got up and talked about Isaiah 44, right about that time at the youth summer camp, that verse was the verse that they prayed. And the kids actually wrote on their hands the Lord's.
Yes.
And a whole bunch of those kids aren't walking with the Lord. And so I want to pray for their return. Because the Lord is after something with our kids, the kids that were here in that time, the kids that are here now, but he is releasing. And he is, if I could say it, diverting his stream here.
Yeah, cool.
So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you desire to bring forth abundance. And the way you do that is through through your streams, and that you have set this place and said, I am going to water the land through this place. So Lord, we say yes and amen.
Yes.
Let your river flow. Let your stream flow. Let your stream flow. Let your stream flow. Lord, we pray for those who were here years ago, who wrote on their hands the Lord's, Lord, that they would come back.
Yes.
Lord, that the river would touch them, the stream would touch them, that they would respond and they would hear once again, this is my home. Lord, we thank you. It's not about this place, it's about you.
Right.
Lord, people need to know that you are their home. And your prayer changes things. It changes cities. Mm-hmm. It was the prayer of two old sisters mm-hmm. that sparked the New Hebrides revival.
That's right.
Lord, you desire, you seed the earth with prayer before you bring forth abundance. Lord, it's that you are drawing us in. And so, Lord, we pray now that you would just instill in us a heart that desires to speak with you above all else, to pray, to petition, to seek you. Lord, that would be, we would wake up in the night and be praying and having prayers on our lips, that you would call us forth. Lord, that you would literally cause the water to rise, the water of prayer to rise in this place. So, Lord, we say yes and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes and amen. Holy Spirit, come. Breathe on us. Release your stream upon us, that we would be streams of living water, would come forth from us. Oh, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to confirm that for you, Sam. Byron and I were speaking yesterday, and I told him that the Lord's been talking to me about words that are real to me and words that are real in me. And we got interrupted. I didn't get the rest, but I could show you my journal. In Psalm 65, the stream of God is full of water is one of the words he's made real to me and in me. When he said today, someone might have a problem in their right ear, my first thought was a stream of God is full of water, and it feels like it is when you can't get the water out of your ear. So I was very surprised, and somebody didn't say anything. But so you go into Psalm 65, dude, I'm telling you, that's one of those words he's made home in me. And I pray pretty frequently, so sweet, really sweet. Thanks, Matt. Good to see you.
The Lord led me really quickly this morning to Matthew 13:31, and it says another parable he put forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is indeed the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And what I know to be true about that is we think about the mustard seed being the tiniest of seeds, but that's kind of not the point. The point is, in Levitical law, Leviticus 19:19, they were not allowed to mix seeds. And the reason they couldn't mix seeds, especially with the mustard seed, if you look it up, the mustard plant is an invasive species. And it grows and it blooms yellow flowers, and it stands about 4 feet tall, and you can't get rid of it. And what he's saying is the kingdom of God is an invasive species. You cannot keep it out. And for too long... For too long, we have tried, and we have tried, and we've thought we could, for centuries, they've tried to root it out, right? And in Kansas City, they thought they've planted over it. They thought they've pulled it out. They thought they've gotten rid of it. They planted other things. And you cannot stop an invasive species. And it is going to start to bloom and grow. And it is growing, and it is being watered and is being fertilized by people on their prayers who humble their hearts and bow their knees and pray. And I see people praying, sitting in their desks and praying. I see people standing, teachers in their classrooms, before anybody gets there, walking through the classroom and praying over every desk. I see people sitting behind their semi-trailers and their tractor trailers and their delivery trucks praying in their seats. I see people praying in their workforces. I see grandparents praying at home. And I see parents walking through their children's bedrooms and praying. I see people taking back authority in great humility over the move of God in this place. And because of that invasive species will bloom again in this place. Amen.
Jeff.
Hey, guys. You're kind people. And to a degree, an English person would say you're a proper people. But if you really, if you are hearing and sensing that what's being said is true and that there's a connect in the spirit on what even God directed me this morning, you're going to have to get really comfortable with this carpet. You're going to have to realize that this is not about standing on ceremony. That our faces will need to be in the carpet. Our bodies will actually need to go low. Because there's ownership that we have in the move of God. It's not just going to be, he's not waiting for himself. He's waiting to join us. It's, we have a part. And there's a part that we play. And I was sitting here on the bench going, and I kept hearing, just get on your knees, Byron, just get on your knees. And I'm going, I don't want to get on my knees. Get on the floor, Byron, get on the floor. And that just sounds stupid. Why do we have to get on the floor? But it's going, it's just, it's a prophetic act before God. That's all it is, to say I'm bending my will before a God who cares and is interested in joining us in releasing something on the earth. I'm not saying you have to do it every time or every time you enter this place, but I'm telling you, get used to this carpet, because you're gonna end up down here a lot if you want to see this happen. And what that really means is, to have ownership means every person who wants it, who shouts out, amen, revival, has to own it themselves. You have to own it if you want it. Now that's a rebuke. That's a reprimand. And hopefully I did it with grace. But it will not happen by one person. Not this move. This move is about the body of Christ stepping in. So Father God, thank you. Thank you that you changed my and your plan to only your plan today. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you that you open the heavens right now. You open the heavens that we can see the truth and what part has been spoken and what's been spoken over the promises over this place called Harmony Vineyard, over the banners of love, over the passages of scripture. Father, that we want to eat the carpet if that's what it takes. I will eat the carpet if that's what it takes. I will be on my face if that's what it takes, Lord, because there is a part we play. I know, Lord, there's a part we play. You want us to join you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that we get to join you. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we get to join you. Thank you that we get to be a part of your kingdom. Yes. Thank you that you brought us into this place. You're bringing people into this place. It's not about harmony. It's not about our personalities. It's about your family. Mm-hmm. And that you're just not satisfied. I know, Lord, you're not satisfied with the size of your family. You want more people at your table. So, Lord, just open the heavens and let us see what you have planned. I pray that you would open the heavens in each of our minds and our spirits, that we would go to bed tonight and dream dreams, that we would see visions, that we would have scriptures come to mind, that we would hear words that trigger the fact that you're opening the heavens, that we would know what is truth about what has been spoken today. Mm-hmm. Wake us to the truth of all that you've said, the promises upon this place. And Jesus, thank you for being such a good, good, loving, and kind friend, that you have plans, as it was said yesterday, for a bunch of us bucket heads. I just love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Byron. I've got a reminder and a confirmation. 10 or 12 years ago, Byron stood up on this platform and he said, "Hey, I see a river running through this place. It's running through this place. I see this river." And sometime after that, Cindy Belke painted a picture. And she was back where she normally sits, and I was standing out in the aisle with my hands in my pockets while the river was flowing through here and up the aisles. I'm knee-deep in water with my hands in my pockets. And the Lord says, "Get your hands out of your pockets." If you're ever in the military, you knew that. Get your hands out of your pockets. Jump into the stream. It's deeper than knee-deep, but knee-deep's a good start. So jump into the stream. Go into that river that's running through here. That river that Byron talked about, that John mentioned. God continues to say in Isaiah 44, "I will give water to him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground." He's pouring out those floods for us to get wet. Get wet. Get your hands out of your pockets and dive in. And then Kathy, about, oh man, I think it's been 20 years ago, I had an open vision, and there were these creatures, they were werewolf type creatures, walking through the streets of Kansas City and defiling everything they came in touch with, kind of vomiting, and it just splattered everywhere, and it was defiled. And no one wanted to go near it. It was off-putting. It was filthy. It was evil. And then I saw this group, mostly young people, but a variety of ages, and they were walking through the streets of Kansas City, and every time they came to one of these places of defilement, they simply reached out their arm and touched it. And it was a burst of glory that completely cleansed that which was defiled. It was an outburst of the prophetic. These were walking teams of the prophetic going through Kansas City and cleaning up the mess. Here's the thing. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't have to be a prophet to be prophetic. But if you are walking in a determination to clean up what's around you, do not be afraid to get your hands dirty. Reach out and touch that which is defiled and proclaim the glory of the Lord over it. Plead the blood of Jesus. We don't hear enough about the blood anymore. Plead the blood of Jesus over that which you're touching. And it will be cleansed.
You may have said before, "I'm not an intercessor. God hasn't called me to that." Are you someone, are you a child of God that wants to see your family brought into the kingdom? Do you long to bring them into his presence? You are the go-between. You are the go-between. You can be the prayer for your family. It's very important that you invite him into your family. You know what that makes you? That makes you an intercessor. who comes between God and those that he loves and draws them in. Because you invited God in, he comes. He's waiting for you to be the go-between. You are the prayer for your family. He values you. He values each person in your family so much. What you pray matters as much as anyone in this room. What you pray matters to God and opens up things in your family, makes a way, makes a channel where the river can flow into your family, your spouse, your child, your parent. You are the prayer for your family. Thank you, God.
It's kind of twofold. I got the second half just now, so, timing. Several years ago in we lived in Australia for a while when Hillsongs was happening. So this just kind of feels a little bit like that. That time frame. God does cycle things around a little bit, doesn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
So the Australian woman that was in charge of ministry, women's ministry there, came up to Fort Leavenworth, and that was a change for her. But she gave a word to the military family there in the, not in church, but in the study before. And she explained that Potter's Field, where the cracked pots were, but that they were able to be, where the vessels were taken, they took blood, actually, and the dust of the earth, and made a paste out of it and put it in the cracks. And I don't know who wrote the book, but he still uses cracked pots, cracked vessels. We think we're not able, you know, we give our excuses, and I have this crack. 7 times that pot had a chance, and then it was put in Potter's Field. And we know about Potter's Field. That's the last chance. So we think we can't be healed. The blood of Jesus and the dust of us is the paste that keeps us together. And in the beginning of worship, before the songs were even coming in, I got the picture of the pots, the big, huge pots, where the water was kept. And Jesus comes along, and he takes those filled pots. You kidding me? That's us. And he gave me a picture of a bunch of pots up here before worship started. The huge ones that were the size of people. I think that's what I'm understanding, that those pots were huge. Not just the little baking pots, they're huge. And he was filling them up with water. And no man can really push over those huge pots. It has to be several people. But God was kicking them over one at a time. And they were lined up right in here. That was my vision, and then the songs came up that confirmed that. So I've kind of been holding this in a little while. Just, it's God's timing, so. He still uses cracked pots, and he fills them. But what God was doing was shoving them over with his God, his arm. One after the other, after the other. And there's the river for you. It's flowing. And he's the one who pushed the pots over. It's nothing we do, nothing, except wanting, thirsting.
Thank you.
I want to help us identify something real quick. We've prayed and prayed many, many, many times. Lord, suddenly come to your temple. Well, this is a suddenly. This is a Kairos moment. He changed Byron's idea of delivery around a couple times here. I didn't get what I got until yesterday sometime. I didn't know what I was going to do because I wasn't keyed in. And then just like that. And I told Kathy, oh, I know what to do. And then I remembered, oh, I did this 17 years ago. I went to my stash and pulled out the notes that I'd written down 17 years ago. Totally forgot about it. This is a sudden moment. And here's a lot of times you think of it suddenly and it's like, it's explosive and it's, you know, powerful and lots of happening. Yes. But the issue is, and I felt like maybe I'm hearing what somebody's hearing. Well, Byron said this and John said this and Scott said this. Man, that's a lot of pressure to make a decision. No. The suddenly is to make it easy to make the decision because he's so blatantly here. And so don't feel like, no, I got to become a prayer guy, right? No, you got to just have the relationship with him that he's here to give you. And it'll be like inhaling and exhaling. You don't even know you're praying and you're praying. So it's not like I have to pray more. It's like, oh, I need to live a prayer life with him. And it'll be more or less or whatever it is, but it'll be the one he's directing. So you can mark this down. This is a corner turning type experience. He has suddenly come to his temple this morning. Not with the blast and the everything that we might have thought he would come with, but he's come with a purpose, for a purpose, at a season, at a time where we have been praying. And well, somebody said prayers work. Well, yeah, it is, because you're investing time. That makes it that way. But it also, prayer isn't just work. Prayer is God working. And when you get in on the working, it doesn't seem much so much like the work. But don't feel like there's a pressure on you. Now I have to make a decision. No, it's like every door in the house is opened. Every porch is opened. And it's easy to say, come on in. I'll cooperate. And you know, the wind's coming in all the windows and all the doors. I mean, there's every opportunity for all, it says in Ephesians 6, pray with all manner of prayer. There's so many different ways that he can spark you, you know, cause you to have quick happening, and you shoot an arrow prayer, or you go spend half hour in prayer, or whatever it is. He told me something last week. I like to have provocation. I want to be him elbow me in the ribs so I know I'm talking to you. And he just said something so cool to me. He said, John, when I prompt you, be prompt. Haven't you ever had somebody say, pray for me. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. And 2 weeks later, you see him at that, pray for him. I mean, you didn't do it. You haven't done it. No, when he comes like something like this, and he's prompting us, just be prompt. Just say yes now. And the outcome will happen. I want to revisit just a second. I wrote on the top of my piece of paper, buying into the promises. The yes is the buying into. Jeremiah did it with money and time and all that kind of stuff, but he knew he'd given the word. It was going to be a long time, and he bought in anyway because it was the word of the Lord. Word of the Lord's come to us this morning. Can't live by every, you know, by word alone, but everything that comes out of his mouth. We have the proceeding word of the Lord today to help us. And so, Lord, I want to say thank you. There's an opportunity to say yes. There's a capacity to say yes. There's an easiness to say yes today. Well, what does it mean? How's it going to change my life? And how's it going to... I'll know and talk to him. But there's an opportunity for us to be a praying people at a level we hadn't been. I told the prayer group this, not like, whatever, couple days last week or the week before when we were praying out of Ezekiel. You know, it's like this. The water comes and touches your ankles so you can walk in it. And then it rises to your knees so you can pray in it. And then it hits your loins and it becomes reproductive. And that's where the expansion comes. And that's what it's like. We want to see the reproduction. No, he does it ankle first, knee first, then the loins. But he doesn't leave that part out. Multiplication is in the river, and the river of God is full of water.
We're being called to get on our faces before the Lord. And part of that humility is acknowledging his lordship over all of you. The minute you came to faith, he renewed your spirit and he came to dwell in it. But he's not a tyrant. He doesn't invade those places you don't hand over to him. So there's parts of you that you think are too filthy. You need to open those up to him. You need to invite him into those places. You're not fully submitted until he's been in those dark places. He already sees them. He saw them when they happened. This is about you acknowledging the truth. And so I felt this ever since Byron started talking about getting on our faces, submitting to him. You have to submit all of, I'm asking you, trust him enough to submit all of you to him.
Good. Thanks, man.
I just want to pray, and I don't know, yeah. Father, I was born in North Kansas City. I was raised in Blue Springs. I have a grandfather that used to take wedding photos in this church. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say we miss you, Lord. We want a place, not of our choosing, but we want a place where you feel at home, where you can be yourself.
Yes.
That you can relax in a recliner among your people while still being holy and righteous and wonderful in all the ways you are. But we want you. We want you in the way you want to be here.
Yes.
And our vision is limited. Our experience of you is limited. But I'm just asking for more. I want to see sides of you I've never seen. I want to feel from you new things. I want to stop just looking at life as some battle against sin. And I want to know what it means to walk fully in the beauty and majesty of your grace.
Thank you, Lord.
The elegance and the simplicity of who you are. And so I just ask you, Father, as a person who has roots of some kind in this land, that you would just be yourself and show us who you really, really are. Kept going back to Isaiah 40, verse 4, or 3 through 5, really. So I'm just going to read it. It says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be exalted, every mountain and hill will be made low, and the crooked will will be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Some of us need to come low, and some have been too low. And we want to call you up. If you've been below the carpet, then come up to the carpet. If you've been raised above it and every person around you, then come down to the carpet. We're preparing a way for you. The beauty and majesty of a king. And I want to say to those who do view themselves as victims, everything just happens to me. People don't understand me. They always get me wrong. I just want to say to you, you're a Gideon. You're a warrior. You're not a victim. Every scar you have has been forming you into a warrior. And Father, I just pray that in this land, that you would begin to release the warrior's cry, a deep, guttural cry from you, that the Lion of Judah would begin to roar in this place, and that the surveyors of the land would begin to once again, historically and in today, begin to draw out the boundary lines and say, no, 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 this land's been taken, but it's ours, it's still ours, and we're not willing to let it go. And I don't know what that territory is in this city or in this state, but Father, we ask that you would begin to once again raise up the boundary lines of what you claim is yours, and that the seeds that you've planted in this land, seeds of truth, seeds of promises, seeds of the word, then we ask, bring the rain. Bring the rain and let those things that haven't seen the hint and the smell of water in a long time, then let them begin,
yes,
to just begin to sprout once again, Father. And we ask that your beauty would be known on the earth for all to see. We ask for that, Father. We ask to know you.
Yes.
Not in the ways we think we can know you. I really want to know you. I want to know how to think like you. I want to know when you're feeling compassion. I want to know when you're moving to the left or to the right. And forgive me in the places where I have just not cared, didn't even want to listen. But I give you my heart today, and I on behalf of all of us, we give you our hearts, and we just say, we want everything that you have purposed us to have and to know about you. So give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this place today. I pray that they would mount up or come down or sweep across, but that wisdom and revelation would fall, that the places we've been blind, the places we just haven't been getting it, Father, I just see a fresh wind blowing on those things, and
yes,
and what we thought was insurmountable, I just declare are such a small thing for you to blow away and to bring new vision and new sight to our hearts in the name of Jesus.
Good. When Byron said everybody needs to do this, I just can't get past it. I guess I'm pastor or something. But he doesn't send something for everybody to do if everybody can't. Are you with me? This is like, yeah, I'm here. I didn't know if they were going to do this today. Neither did we. But there's a yes there, and all you got to do is pull the trigger. So if this is, oh, this is beyond me, this is, I don't know how to do this. Yeah, this is like you talking to him and him talking to you. You know, so you, as Ron was playing, I said this over, kind of overpowering thing, saying, yeah, and everybody can. The love of God's been poured out in everybody's heart. The presence of the Spirit is in everybody's body. And we can say, yes. I mean, it could be like Peter, he just said one word, help. That was it. But we can have that, everybody can. So when he says everybody has to do this, yeah, it's because it's our, it's the nowness, present tense thing that God's giving us to do. And so I'm gonna put my arms around everybody and say, you can do this. So you can do this. And as you do, becomes more normal, natural, because it's not, you know, it's like difference between prayer and praying. You know, prayer is like a noun, but praying's a verb. And when you just kind of do it, something kind of happens. You can't talk to the one who holds the whole world together by his word of power and have nothing happen. Sometimes it's immediately and sometimes it's not. We've had a pretty good day, haven't we? We've left one thing out. Can you just bless Wes for playing for an hour? It's probably a good thing you didn't have guitar, you had piano, maybe that's a little. I guess we're done now. Thank you for being attentive. Thank you for buying in. Thank you for welcoming what happened. Again, we didn't have this orchestrated. It was trying to flow with what the Lord was saying and doing. I think he got to say what he wanted to say, and now I think we can have the grace to do what we ought to do. So, Lord, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being with us in a measurable, tangible way. And, Lord, I want to pray for that word that Byron gave about the right ear. Mike came up to me, and I thought, oh, this happened a couple weeks ago. I think that person must be streaming with us today. And I pray that you would email us or call us and let us know, hey, yeah, my ear doesn't hurt anymore. Just, it's a lift for you, and it's a lift for us to have that happen. Not only that, we know you made the connection. So that's a really good thing. So, Lord, thank you for being here. Thank you for the purpose for which you came. Thank you for making that real, identifiable, and us able to respond to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go hug our child care workers, please.